Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
B-Pod Studios.
The Sports Hub. Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight. I don't want to lose your love
time on a Friday. Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Zoe. Sarge on headlines. Thank you for trying on that prize that we gave away earlier. Scotty's kickoff kit. It has been given away. We had a successful winner. Thank you very much. 617-779-0985, the telephone number. Do you remember Derek Mason? Do you remember this clip? Derek Mason with Bill Belichick being told to be quiet.
Yes.
Shut up.
Yes.
Have a smile on my face all day, coach.
Oh, you, Mason. Just you, will ya? Let me talk after the game, all right? Just shut the up. Can you look at the scoreboard?
Look. That happened in 2009. That was a decade ago already.
Yeah.
If you could believe that. Patriots, Ravens. Derek Mason catching a pass right along the Patriots sideline, runs out of bounds. Belichick, bleep you, Mason.
Went to Axel Foley's alma mater, Mumford High School in Detroit.
Is that right?
Yeah. Doesn't Axel Beverly Hills Cop wear a Mumford High School sweatshirt?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do we have the audio of Mason with Tommy Curran yesterday? This is the audio of him and Tommy Curran in a one-on-one interview explaining why it was that he was over there laughing on the Patriots sideline.
There is a memorable clip from you playing the Patriots where you say something to Bill Belichick. And he's like, "F*** you, Mason." It is the ultimate Bill Belichick clip. Can you take me back to that point?
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. None of it was directed toward Bill. It all had to do with Dean Pease. Because Dean Pease and I have a history. Dean Pease was at Michigan State when I was there. He came in with the coaching staff with Nick Saban. So Dean Pease and I had a relationship. So Dean Pease and I were going back at each other. I was laughing because I enjoy having fun on the field. And I was laughing and we were moving the chains. And I guess Bill just took exception to it, you know? And Bill said something and I laughed it off. Dean Pease and I talked about it. I was like, it was you and I, coach, not him. But, you know, he is who he is. And, again, that's another guy you just respect because he's been doing it for a long time, and he's been doing it at a high level.
Yeah, well, Derek Mason didn't take it personally.
No. Boy, it sure sounded personal from Belichick's end. I love that clip. It's hysterical.
Well, we thought there had to have been some history. We've always assumed, like, oh, man, what happened between those two?
I'm going to smile on my face all day, coach.
Oh, you, Mason. Just you, will ya? Why don't we talk after the game, all right? Just shut the up. Can you look at the scoreboard?
So he said coach, and so maybe just Bill thought he's talking to him. All day, coach. And he's talking to Dean Pease.
Who may have been standing next to Belichick.
Dean Pease is standing. He's talking to Dean Pease. He knows Dean Pease from college.
And I know it's a short clip, but the fact that he had to go back to him with the scoreboard thing tells you how much it got under Belichick's skin.
Right.
It wasn't just a one passing bleep you. It was bleep you, bleep you again. Go look at the scoreboard.
Yeah, why? Why is he so mad?
That was a
because
tough
that
year.
Team was awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was frustrated.
It's amazing they won 10 games with that team.
He hated that team.
What's amazing is that he had that kind of back and forth with Dean Pease under a Nick Saban coach staff. Like, I would think, like, every player is told by Saban and his coordinators essentially what Belichick just told him. But it sounded like he had a little back and forth maybe with Dean Pease when they were together at Michigan State. And that surprises me. You would think if Nick Saban, when he was running that program, just like wherever he's run it since then, there is a not that type of loose and light atmosphere going on between players and coaches. But apparently he had a rapport with him.
Maybe.
Tried to carry it over.
Zach is in Quincy. He's got a thought on that Little League story from earlier. Zach.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So I'm not a Goffstown hater like the last caller, but I am a huge fan of Barrington, Rhode Island. It's a nice town and the best state in New England. But I don't have a problem. I know you guys might disagree with the cheating if they were doing it at all, because in Little League, you can't, first of all, you can't lead, so it's tough to relay the signs from second to home as it is, because the pitcher's in the way. And these kids aren't good enough to know, even if a curveball is coming, if they were relaying the signs, that they're going to hit it anyway. So I think the coach coming out, it's a lose-lose, and I just think he looks like a sore loser. Thanks, guys.
A lot of anti-Goffstown sentiment
yeah.
on this issue.
Well, the part that's weird is the guy from Goffstown said, this isn't why we lost. Like, we were going to lose anyway. If you're going to lose anyway, maybe you should just leave it alone.
Are they the Colts? Little bit. They're kind of the Colts.
Yeah, that's why. I mean, I can sort of see issues with both teams. One, knock it off with your sign stealing. Stop. It's a little league.
You know? He said we saw it the game before when we played them earlier in the tournament.
Yeah, let an 11-year-old,
they didn't do anything to adjust that. Yeah, nothing.
Stop it, Jim. Let the 11-year-olds be 11-year-olds, please. Okay?
Don't tell Jim to stop.
Change up your signs.
Jim takes this seriously.
Right? Like,
yeah. Touch the helmet for a one when the guy's on second base and touch the shin pads when it's a two instead of giving the one
okay.
and two.
I would just say, number one, let the 11-year-olds and 12-year-olds be 11 and 12. Okay. Knock off your sign stealing. And number two, Goffstown, stop being the Colts. I'm not saying it's why we lost the game, but the balls were underinflated. Bob Kravitz. We heard that on the 10th anniversary show earlier this week. No one is suggesting that this is why the Colts lost, but 11 of the 12 balls were underinflated. Right? Joe and Redding on Belichick and Mason. They have bad blood, Joe?
Yeah, so when Mason was a free agent from the Titans, I believe he had a visit to the Patriots around the time when they were really strapped for receivers of that 05-06 time frame. So I think Belichick is pissed at Mason for choosing the Ravens over the Patriots, and he probably, you know, maybe cost them another title potentially. I mean, he was pretty good back then. So that's what I think. That's why I think Belichick hates Mason.
Interesting. I don't remember that.
He did visit in 2005. I'm looking at the article now.
His wife. The wife wanted to go to Baltimore, so he chose Baltimore.
So there it is. So that certainly may have played a role, too.
I think they addressed this in the current interview. I think he said, "Why? Probably in hindsight, maybe he should have just gone there to New England."
Is he still with his wife?
It's a good question.
It's I'm not saying that jokingly. Like, that may have changed his opinion if he's not with his wife anymore. If he was making decisions based on what she wanted and not what he wanted. And now, you know, I'm saying people have done that before. And he went to Baltimore instead.
So Zoe was all fired up when that happened. He was doing radio in Providence at the time. He just went off on Mason.
For choosing Baltimore?
Yeah. For not choosing the Patriots.
Did the Patriots offer more money?
I don't think it was much of a difference. If there was a difference, I don't think it was much of a difference. They could have used him in 06, right?
Oh, I think so. Yeah. Could have used him in 06.
Says he's still married.
Still married. Okay.
Oh, good for them.
Not a marital
22 years.
Not a marital issue. It's not that. Yeah. They could have used him in 06. But I don't know. Was Brady making too much money then too, Jim, to have receivers? Or was that he was making an appropriate amount of money then?
No, they offered it to him.
Oh, they did. Let's get to the action update.
Mason played 15 years.
He had a long career.
Long career.
He did. He was good, too. Yeah. He had a good career. Let's get to the action update. and get caught up on things. Later this hour, a couple of police videos. One for Brian Cashman and one for the COO of the Cardinals. One's related to a DUI. One's related to a stolen vehicle that was no longer stolen. Is it possible to steal a vehicle and have it be stolen and then no longer have it be stolen? Yes, it is.
Yes, just ask Brian Cashman.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
/12:20 here on Zolak and Bertrand. Hardy in for Zoe today. Congrats to Scott from Meredith, New Hampshire for winning his 13-year-old a spot as next week's Scotty's kickoff kid. Scott and Meredith is going to the game.
That's awesome.
And his 13-year-old is going to be running out there as Scotty's kickoff kid. I'm just watching the clip of the home run that Rhode Island gave up today in the Little League World Series.
It was a bomb.
It was a bomb. To deep center.
To a lefty.
The pitcher came over.
Oh, I saw this. Yeah, I saw when it happened.
And high-fived the kid rounding the bases.
But the kid kind of, did the kid rounding the bases give him the high-five
back?
He
did.
Okay, he did.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, that must be a Little League thing. Is it? The pitcher have to come off the mound and high-five the kid who gave him the...
They don't have to, but a lot of them do. The shortstop will give the kid a high-five when he's rounding the bases. Yeah, that happens all the time.
That's nice, Jim.
So they're teaching him to steal signs, but at the same time, they're out there high-fiving the other team when they hit home runs?
Yes.
Well, I mean, the sign
hell?
Stealing was in the regionals.
I'll tell you, man, 2019 is a weird time to be alive, Hardy.
It's
a weird, weird time.
It's a disingenuous high-five. Wait a second.
Part of me should like the sign stealing because for at least we're teaching the kids not to, you know, be so soft.
Don't they do that in the Bad News Bears? Isn't there a home run given up in one of the Bad News Bears scenes where the kids on base have to high-five the kid as he's going around? Maybe that's maybe this is a tradition they've been doing for a long time.
Regular Bad News Bears or breaking training?
Regular Bad News Bears. And not Billy Bob Thornton, Walter Matthau. I am OG BBN, okay?
I like breaking training.
BNB, excuse me.
Trip to the Astrodome.
I don't think I ever saw that one.
Let them play.
I think I tried to watch Bad News Bears go to Japan, but it's the first one, and that's it. I'm all done.
Did you know that the Arizona Cardinals have had another member of their upper management get arrested for DUI?
Oh, no.
What is with that organization?
Well,
do you think the Cardinals as an organization might have a drinking problem?
Is it a much lower tolerance for the DUI charge in the state of Arizona? It was like 0.01. Like
Michael Floyd had an extreme DUI in Arizona, didn't he?
If you so much as gargle with scope, you can't get behind the wheel. Is that what they're dealing with?
I don't know. I can try and get the report for you and let you know what he had on.
Can I have Hardy do the same thing you just did, Beetle?
What?
Google this guy's name.
Minigar?
Just so you can picture what he looks like when you hear this audio.
Oh, no, I've already looked at what he looks like.
No, I want Hardy to do that.
Hardy, I want you to look up what he looks like and tell me who you think he looks
What's
like.
What's his name again?
Ron Minigar. Minigar. Tell me who you think he looks like.
Jim Irsay.
There you go. He looks like he could be related to Jim Irsay. He failed three sobriety tests.
Executive Vice President, Chief Operations Officer, nearly fell over before DUI arrest.
He refused the breathalyzer.
They had to do a blood test. The results of the blood test have yet to be revealed from what I've read on the story. But this is not the first time they've had executives. Steve Keim was arrested for DUI last year.
Oh, I do remember that. Yep.
And he was suspended and had to go away for a while.
Yep.
And this follows, again, a player in Michael Floyd. But, I mean, there's a drinking problem with this team. The Arizona Cardinals are drunk.
There's also a linebacker, John Abraham, a few years ago.
Drunk.
Yep.
The team has a drinking problem, and they have a drinking problem in the front office as well. So the other night, this was August 10th, so this is now almost a week ago. He gets a DUI, refuses it, but now they've released the video, the police video, which we have, right? Is it worth playing? Think the audio is worth playing? Okay, let's play it.
Hello, how's it going?
Good, sir.
Good. Do you happen to have your license on you, sir?
It's on the floor right here.
Oh, what happened to it?
It's sitting on the floor right here.
Oh, okay. Can you roll that window down? It's right here?
Of course.
Perfect. Hey, how much you had to drink tonight, sir?
What's that?
How much you had to drink tonight?
3 drinks, 4 drinks.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Which means
he's sauced.
Seven or eight.
You say where's your license? Oh, it's right on the floor
why,
over here.
Why would your license be on the floor, by the way? Like I told you, I've been watching a lot of live PD lately. This guy would be, Brett, I mean, this would be good TV right here.
Well, sometimes if you carry good your TV. License just like, you know, loose because you know you're going to need it, and then... when you take your pants off in the car, it falls out of the pocket. So I can see how
drink tonight.
3 drinks, 4 drinks.
Okay. Alrighty. Do me a favor, just step on out real quick. We're going to head over to that sidewalk.
Okay.
Thanks.
I would imagine every cop, just whatever number they give you, they double it in their own mind. Okay, that means he's had 6 or 8.
How about 2 dinks, 4 dinks, he says. And then, what did I do?
3 dinks, 4 dinks.
Yes. Yeah, scores on that thing?
No. Just wait right here. Okay. Wait right here.
I'm just kidding.
No, it's all right, bud.
He's like, I'm just walking on.
I just go to the Waffle House. Who else could go for some flapjacks? No. We're not done.
For me, man. All right, your wallet's actually on the floor
right
on
here.
The driver's seat.
Yep.
No, the driver's seat, not the passenger seat. So just hang out here with this officer real quick.
Tomato.
Yeah, we're good, man. Thanks. He smokes.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
The cops. Oh, no. He smoked. This guy's hammered.
He's schnockered. Just call it in right now.
All right. Yeah, we're going to be taking him with us.
Keep your hands out of your pockets, all right?
Sorry.
Unless you want me to pat you down for weapons.
Dude, no weapons, I promise.
All right,
you
so then just keep your hands out of your pocket right now since there's not another unit right there.
I'm way too drunk for my weapons tonight. Are you kidding me?
There's no
weapons. Oh, God, I leave my weapons at home when I'm this hammered. I'm not that stupid.
You believe me on the no weapons, so I'm free to go?
About them waffles. You guys like blueberry pancakes?
What did it do?
Right now, you just told us you were drinking and driving, if you remember that.
Yeah.
You told us that you had 3 to 4 drinks and you were driving. That's what you just told us.
Yeah, so I did nothing wrong. So here we go.
Oh, Jesus. He sounds like Drunk Uncle from Saturday Night Live. There's nothing.
Oh, man.
Here you go. Oh, boy.
You know who I want to hear from on this? Tom and Worcester. How would Tom and Worcester handle this guy?
I would be willing to bet that is the general rule of thumb. However many drinks they say, double it.
Yeah, 6, 8, 9, 10 drinks. What did I do wrong?
I had 2 drinks. That means 4.
I've been drinking all night, but what?
Nothing wrong. So here we go.
Yeah. So just keep your hands out of your pockets.
Nothing in my pockets.
Okay. Well, if you want me to pat you down for weapons, I can do that.
Please.
Okay. Don't step up on me.
No, I'm not stepping.
Listen
up
to me. All right.
Please.
Relax. There's no need to get upset. I'm treating you with respect. You treat me with respect, okay?
I'm going to.
When I ask you, don't put your hands in your pockets.
There's nothing in a pocket.
Okay, but if I tell you not to put your hands in your pockets and I have a reason to stop you and detain you, then don't put your hands in your pockets, all right?
Yeah,
now go ahead, turn around, face away from me, and put your hands on top of your head.
Yeah.
Hands on top of your head. Spread your feet.
Oh, you're...
What's wrong?
Nothing.
All right, face towards.
There's nothing in my pockets. Oh, you're a saucy one, aren't you? Maybe it has something to do with Arizona, Beetle, and not the team, but the state. Didn't Barkley get his DUI in Arizona? You get dehydrated.
You think there's something that entices you to get hammered there?
I'm saying that, you know, you sweat a lot, you have a couple of drinks, it affects you more.
I will say this. Everything's so spread out. You can't just get there with, like, public transportation or Ubers right. Are, like, take forever.
Right. We took an Uber to a station dinner, I think, when we were there. And it cost us
$70.
Honestly, it was like $60. I'm like, where are we going? And you're like, and I'm like, it is in Phoenix. And again, Phoenix is this massive sprawl.
That was the worst.
And I think then we ended up having to go to Scottsdale for something. And that's, you know, another town away.
You have the scores of the football games on that thing by any chance?
That's embarrassing.
There's nothing in my pockets. That's why I put my hands in my pockets.
Two dinks, four dinks. Here we go. What?
Two dinks, four dinks.
Ooh, Jim Gray there.
Two dinks, four dinks. T-dinks. All good. Here we go.
Four dinks, tiddlywinks.
Two dinks, four dinks.
It's not good. That's not good.
The cop, he smoked.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
I still have to go through all this. Oh, my God. Just put the cops.
What do you do with that guy now?
If you're the Cardinals?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Suspend him for a couple games and bring him back.
What a league.
Yeah, they'll suspend him for a month and then come back in a month. That's what they're going to end up doing.
Witnesses said he was driving in and out of lanes, erratically switching lanes, nearly collided with a motorcycle, which had to take evasive action to avoid being hit.
Like, he's lucky he didn't kill anybody.
Also came close to running into a sidewalk.
Great. Great.
You told us that you had 3 or 4 drinks and you were driving. Yeah. That's what you just told us.
Yeah,
so I did. Nothing wrong. So here we go.
Awesome. He's a hazard to the rest of us, this loser. Just a hazard to the rest of the world.
Nothing wrong with that. Oh, boy. Here we go. Here we go.
Yeah. Let's just be thankful he didn't kill anybody out there, that there were no innocent victims at the hands of this guy. What a jerk. Yeah, that's the Cardinals. They have a drinking problem, and that's the NFL. God, that team has some sort of issue. Also, police videos this week. Brian Cashman. But he didn't actually do anything wrong. Brian Cashman is actually someone who got caught up in his car getting stolen and then unstolen. We'll explain that for you coming up next.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's all Ack and Bertrand. Hardy in for Zoe. I don't know what it is. Been watching a lot of live PD lately, Hardy. I'm telling you, you should check it out on A&E.
I've tried.
It's good stuff.
I prefer my television cop shows to be heavily edited and
pared down and easily digestible.
Yeah,
is that what it is?
And not such a mirror of reality because...
Nah, I like the raw footage.
Sometimes it's a little boring.
Yeah, no, you got to be invested. You know what it is? It's better when you DVR it.
At least it's not contrived.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like a reality show that's contrived.
Yeah, it's you got to DVR it so you can get through the commercials and the breaks and sort of the slow periods.
Look, one reality show, Below Deck, I'm at my limit, I'm done. But I'm glad you enjoy it.
All right. Well, this was a video that popped up this week, because Brian Cashman, general manager of the New York Yankees,
yeah,
had his Jeep stolen. His Jeep, white Jeep, nice. Jeep guy was jacked. Who jacked it? Don't know. Someone jacked his Jeep. And so it was reported stolen, and then the Jeep was recovered. And Brian Cashman got his Jeep back and had to bring it to a police station in Connecticut to have it, I guess, processed. That's the story. And so when he did that, he brought it back to the police station in Connecticut. They, I guess, mistakenly did not put it in the system as having been recovered. So when you run the plate, the police put the plate in their system, the Jeep was still coming up as stolen. So Brian Cashman is driving around his Jeep, and all of a sudden he gets stopped by the police at gunpoint because they think it's a guy who's driving around a stolen vehicle. Yeah, that's probably not exactly what you want, right? Not only that, the story gets crazier. Apparently police in that area were looking for someone who was driving a white Jeep who had also been involved in some other crime. So it's like two different things like colliding at the same time. Number one, they had a stolen, his vehicle had been stolen. He got it back. It was still listed as stolen. And there was another crime in the area, and they were on the lookout for a white Jeep. And so now they've got two things happening, and they see what they think is a stolen white Jeep and a white Jeep meeting two things all at once in a parking lot. And all of a sudden, they've got him pulled over, and they're screaming at him to get out of his car. And here's the tape of it.
Driver, turn off your car. Put your hands up. Put your hands out the window.
Both hands out the door.
Don't move. All right, James, what's the status? I'm right down the street.
Open the door with your hand from the outside, please. Go ahead and step out of the car. Turn away from us. Walk backwards towards us, please. Understood, sir. We'll talk to you in a second. Back up towards the detective. Understood. That's not our intention.
I know, but it was taken off of NYPD 2 days ago.
And we all know how they are, okay?
All right.
Car is clear. You're all set, sir.
Thank you. I'm going to take the Norwalk PD for processing now. I picked it up from the NYPD 2 days ago.
Okay. Do you have your ID with you?
It's in my...
All right, let's go grab it.
It's amazing. Westchester called me already on my drive up.
You look very familiar to me.
GM of the New York Yankees.
Yeah, I know. I used to see you at Brook Street Bagels when I was an Eastchester cop. Apologize for the embarrassment.
Did somebody say code 4?
You just... I did. Clear it. Clear it. Clear it, turn all the lights off, and we're good. No spectacle.
So it was stolen in Norwalk and then dumped in the Bronx, believe it or not. He got it back from the New York Police Department, who didn't put it in the system as having been not stolen. The car was stolen and then no longer stolen.
And we all know how they are, okay?
Yep, that's the one cop talking trash about NYPD. He was in Darien, Connecticut, stopped for gas. And that is when five patrol cars pulled up on Brian Cashman while he was getting gas. Guns drawn. That is what they did.
A biggest upset on this Beetle? Not a Grand Cherokee.
No, no, Wrangler.
Wrangler.
That's why I said real Jeep guy.
Yeah.
I would have crapped my pants.
Oh, oh, do you think?
I would have soiled my... I would have been like, oh! Huh?
If I have my hands up and I'm walking backwards, does that mean you have a gun pointed at me right now? Yeah!
I had four dinks.
Soiled my britches.
And I would have been talking like the idiot COO of the Arizona Cardinals. That would have been me. Well, let's go.
You look very familiar to the
GM of the New York Yankees.
Yeah, I know. I used to see you at Brook Street Bagels when I was in East Chester.
I'm sorry, Bruce. What, do you guys just go to the bagel shop together? What?
I'd start giving up everything at that point.
You know what happened there? So when they, I don't know this. I'm assuming that when they looked you up, when they look up that car, even if it's reported stolen, they probably are able to see like the original owner. and they see the name, and then the guy gets out of the car and they're like, wait, that's Brian Cashman. I know that guy. That is Brian Cashman. That's him. Yeah, I know that guy. Like, and as he's got him backing up at gunpoint, he's like, oh, that's Brian Cashman. That's the guy who owns that car. That's why he's like, yeah, no, you're okay. Let's clear the car. Yeah, sorry about that.
Try not to shoot him.
Clear. It's good. It's good. It's really Brian Cashman. I know him from the bagel store, guys. It's good.
Another one, though. Where's your wallet? It's in the car.
What?
These guys, team executives don't carry their wallets on them.
It might have been like in the you know, console.
Either way.
Or something.
Yeah.
Is your wallet out of your pants very often?
Sometimes in the car.
Really?
In the console.
Yeah.
Sometimes I leave it in the console.
But not too often. Generally, it's in the front right pocket. I'd give everything up, though. As I'm walking backwards, they tell me, hands are going to walk backwards. I smoked pot once in 2002. I bought an 8-ball from a guy at the bar, Las Vegas, 1999. I know his name. I don't have his number anymore, man. I'll tell you what, everything I know about it.
What? Yes, I stole the car. Yeah, what? Sir, I thought it was your car. Nope, I stole it.
I'd still buy it. I didn't pay full price for it either. I lied to the guy. I told him that I would pass the name along to other guys on the team, and I never did it. I never did it.
Four drinks?
I had four drinks. I had only four drinks. I only had four drinks this morning.
I said I'd be back anytime I need another car, but we bought another car for my wife at a different dealership. You just shoot me now.
Matt's in Maine. Matt, what do you think of all this?
Hey, so I can probably give you a little bit of insight as to how this particular incident happened. I'm a 911 dispatch.
Oh, okay.
So what happened is, say the car was reported stolen in Norwalk. Norwalk would enter the report and enter it as stolen. If it was recovered somewhere else, like in this case, I think you said it was recovered in the Bronx.
It was in the Bronx.
So what would happen is the Bronx would then notify Norwalk, and Norwalk would have to be the ones that take it out of the system as being stolen. And it happens fairly frequently, even up here in Maine, where some lines get crossed and it doesn't get taken out of the system for whatever reason, and it could show stolen for months, if not years, after the fact.
Wow. He was telling them he was on his way to Norwalk when this all happened. He was driving it to the police station, he said, for processing. So maybe they wanted to see it before they did that. I don't know.
Probably. That would make sense in this case, too.
Yeah. They'll put their eyes on it. Check it out. Or whatever it is they wanted to do.
It's a shame you don't have computers where you could just say, not stolen, and then it shows up for everybody like that.
And we all know how they are, okay?
Yeah. A little slam there on the New York Police Department. And we all know they are useless.
Yeah, we all know. Teats on a bull, and they're no good.
Yeah, NYPD, what have they ever been good for, you know? Yeah, a bunch of heroes, I'm sure. Yeah, okay.
New York's finest.
Yeah,
blah,
New York's
finest.
Blah, 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 blah.
I used to see at Brook Street Bagels when I was in East Chester.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I guess we'll be best friends after all. As soon as I put this gun away.
Yeah, like, you think Brian Cashman gave a flip about that? Oh, terrific. Thank you. Great. Did we ever speak there at the bagel store, you and I?
We share a schmear, did we?
What kind of cream cheese did you get at the bagel store?
I'm having trouble recalling at this moment as I have last night's dinner oozing down my leg.
Didn't, you know, speaking of executives with DUI, didn't Brian Cashman have one of those?
Cashman?
Tony La Russa did, right? He was asleep.
I thought maybe Cashman had one of those incidents.
I'm not seeing any.
Or a car crash. Did he have a car crash? Maybe that's what it was. I apologize. I think he had a car crash at some point. A number of years ago. It was just an accident. Right. La Russa had the banging on the window. That's right.
He was being stalked at one point, Cashman.
No, he definitely had like a car accident at one point years ago.
Okay.
Something like that. Yeah. La Russa, though, you're right. La Russa was the one down in Florida, I think, is where that one happened. 617-779-0985, the phone number. We'll get back at it with you. Want to get to some Patriots points, including what Tom Brady had to say about his receivers yesterday. You may have missed that. He had some comments on that. We'll get to that coming up at the top of the hour.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I'm going to jump back to your phone, 617-779-0985. Jacob's in Shrewsbury. Jacob, what's going on?
Hey, Beetle, how are you? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you.
There's been some talk this week about bringing Jimmy G back, and I was curious twofold if you'd be for this, and secondly, if you think it's something the Pats would actually do. If you look at Jimmy G's actual production, he doesn't have a great big body of work, but it's not that different from Jacoby Brissett, who's, you know, the size of Roethlisberger, more durable, he's younger, and he's only making $2 million. He's going to be unrestricted free agent. I'll hang up. What do you think?
Okay. I want to read you a story, Hardy, based on that call.
Okay.
This from one of the outlets in Indianapolis, Fox 59, that says, time nearing when Colts must decide. Andrew Luck or Jacoby Brissett? This is a serious story that they wrote.
Say that again, please.
Time nearing when Colts must decide. Andrew Luck or Jacoby Brissett.
Okay.
It says, who's under center when the Indianapolis Colts open a season of lofty aspirations September 8th against the Chargers in L.A.? Who's the guy? When the Colts and Cleveland Browns shared the Grand Park Sports Campus practice fields Wednesday, Brissett was the guy. He ran the number one offense, just as he had for the previous 10 training camp sessions. Brissett, who's immersed in an uneven camp, enjoyed arguably his best day, completing 11 of 14 passes against the Browns' number one defense during team drills. Quote, he had a couple of nice timing throws to T.Y., that's T.Y. Hilton, did a nice job of getting it out over the middle a couple of times, Frank Reich said. He was very happy. Oh, I was very happy with the way Jacoby looked today. Luck, meanwhile, looked on from the periphery. He was in shorts and a t-shirt, and his left ankle, which now is contributing to his extended absence, was wrapped with tape. As we now know, Hardy, he has an extra bone there.
Yes.
Extra bone in his ankle.
Extra small little bone.
Small little bone, according to Jim Irsay. He last delivered a pass with teammates on July 28th. No one is certain when he'll be cleared to return. But this story says, but again, that time is quickly approaching. That time might be August 26th, and we'll get to that. We're not talking about Luck getting on the field in any of the three remaining preseason games. That's not happening. So what is it about? What's going to happen? They've got to figure it out. Is it going to be Luck, or is it going to be Jacoby Brissett to start the year? And I think there's sort of this, I don't know, this idea here that like this is a big decision they got to make. I think it's going to be Brissett to start the year. I don't think that's the big decision.
That's not a decision. It doesn't seem like right now, no.
But it feels like if you extrapolate this out a little bit, there's a bigger picture decision there about what they're going to do with Andrew Luck. And I don't know if that directly means, is it Luck versus Brissett in Indianapolis? But Jacoby Brissett is, in my opinion, overrated by Patriots fans, at least the ones we hear from. He's a nice backup quarterback.
Nice backup quarterback.
He is.
But what do Patriots fans that you're talking about, the ones that you're referencing, what do they say about him?
Like, he's someone who you could mold into a starting quarterback and win with in this league. And I just think that is ludicrous.
I don't.
Been a long time. Been a long time since we heard the Pied Piper.
Do I want Jacoby Brissett back here? No, I don't. No, thanks. What's the point of that?
I'm sure I've heard it mentioned a time or two, but I mean, watching him in the 1.5 preseason games we got to, or 1.5 regular season games we had a chance to watch him. Nice backup quarterback. Small sample size then. It's not a huge body of work now. But to think that you could somehow see in what we've seen from him so far the makings of a top-tier starting quarterback in the NFL, I never saw that. Nice guy. More than acceptable backup guy. Go in there and hold some leads for you. Maybe even win you a game if your guy's got to sit out for a couple. But a starter? What is it about his game that says to you, oh, he's a starting quarterback?
In a bad team he might be. But he's not a starting quarterback on a Super Bowl winning team in my
mind. That's why I said like a top-tier NFL starting quarterback, like top 30 of the league.
I'm looking for the guy, the next guy. What? He's not that. He's not the next guy.
No.
I don't need that. I still think that Jimmy Garoppolo might be one of those guys. He may not be. I mean, last year plus has not been great for him. Okay? In fact, his finish here wasn't all that strong.
No.
Okay? But he might still have that potential. Jacoby Brissett, I don't have that belief. I don't. Unfortunately.
Would you be more surprised if Jimmy Garoppolo has an exceptionally good year or a mediocre to bad year? What would surprise you more?
I would be more surprised if he had an exceptionally bad year.
See, I'd be more surprised if he came out and were exceptionally good from start to finish and played all 16 and made it into the playoffs. That would surprise me. I don't think he's durable enough. I've seen it a couple few times now. I don't know that he can play the game.
I don't know, his first year in San Francisco, he had a hot start there, man. He had a hot start.
I know, and they tried to pick up one first down, and you go bye-bye. I'm not saying that he's soft. I'm not saying he's even fragile, but there are some guys who are just more prone to taking hits that they can't get up.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.